Good morning, Cholamoyed Pesach, Tovshin Pei Aleph. We mentioned that we're deviating from the standard shiur of Likutei Halachos to do Sipurim Isias for these 3 days of Cholamoyed that we're going to have shiurim, Mitzvah Shem. And I chose a short story in size. It's the 8th story in Sipurim Isias, the story of a rabbi who had an only son. And we mentioned that one of the reasons for learning this now, the Gemara tells us that Yontif is a special time of connecting to the rabbis, to the tzaddikim. Shabbos, the holiness of Shabbos, was established by Hashem when Hashem first created the world and created the world in 6 days and rested on the 7th day. Yontif, the Yomim Tovim, we're told, are established by the rabbis. The pasuk says, Eile Moyade Hashem, Asher Tikru Oysam B'Moyadam, these are the holidays of Hashem, which you should proclaim at their proper time. And the Gemara says, the word Oysam can also be the word Atem, it's the same letters. These are the holidays which you will establish at their right time. It's based on the rabbis who establish when the new month begins that we know on what day the holidays are. So that Yontif is a special time, a special opportunity for connecting to tzaddikim. We find the Gemara tells us, Chayev Odom Lahakbil Pnei Raboi Boregel, there's a special obligation for a person to visit their rabbi on the holidays. And in honor of that, we're doing this story, which speaks about coming close to and attaching oneself to the tzaddik. Regarding these stories, Rabbi Nizal said, towards the end of his life, he said to his students, I've given you my shiurim, I've given you all my Torah, and I see you're not yet where I want you to be. So it's time to pull out the heavy artillery, the strongest medicines, I'm going to start telling stories, so that these stories are incredibly motivating and inspiring, if a person studies them the right way. Fortunately, on this story, the 8th story of Sipurim Isias, Reb Nachman Chirin, who was one of the closest and brightest students of Reb Nosson Zal, gives a very clear commentary explaining most of the details in this story, and we'll try to cover that. The story begins a story about a rabbi who didn't have children. Afterwards, after a certain period of time, he finally had an only child, an only son. And he raised him, and he married him off. And the son would sit in an attic on a higher floor and learn, just as was the custom by wealthy people who could support their sons-in-law. He didn't have to work, he didn't have to worry about earning a living. He was able to devote himself full-time to spirituality, to studying Torah. V'hoyoloimed u'mispalil tomid. And Rabbi Nizal says that this young man studied Torah and prayed constantly, all the time. However, he felt that something was missing, and he didn't know what it was. Somehow he didn't feel a sweetness in his studying, in his Torah, and in his prayer. He went ahead and spoke about this. He told this over to 2 people, young men, and they advised him to travel to a specific tzaddik. Now Rabbi Nizal interjects that this young man, this son of the rabbi, had performed a certain mitzvah which elevated him to the status of Mo'er HaKoton, the small light. We know when Hashem first created the world, we're told that Hashem created a large light and a small light. First it says, Hashem created Shnei Mo'erois HaGedolim, 2 large lights, sources of light. Then the Torah speaks about them as being a larger one and a smaller one, because Hashem ended up diminishing the light of the moon. And it's what we'll see later in the story, that in every generation, there are 2 tzaddikim that are that are in the category of Moir HaGodol, Moir HaKoton, the great light and the smaller light. During the time of the Baal Shem Tov, it's brought that the Oir HaChaim HaKodosh, Rabbi Chaim Ben Attar, was the Moir HaGodol and the Baal Shem Tov was the Moir HaKoton. And that was one of the main reasons why the Baal Shem Tov wanted desperately to get to Eretz Yisrael. One of the main reasons was to connect with the Oir HaChaim HaKodosh, who was living there at the time. Now, the son of the rabbi went, and he spoke to his father about his problem, the fact that he doesn't feel a sweetness, he doesn't feel a specialness in his davening, in his learning. It's bothering him, and he doesn't know what it is. He doesn't know what's missing. Therefore, he wants to go and travel to this particular tzaddik. His father responded, "How in the world are you even considering traveling to him? You are more learned than him, you're a greater lamdan than him, and you have much higher lineage than him. You have greater yichus than him. It would be beneath you to travel to him. Forget about this. Put these thoughts aside completely." And the rabbi, the father of this son, spoke so effectively that he prevented his son from traveling. And the son went back to his learning. Once again, he still felt something's missing. Again, he discussed it with those people that he had spoken about it before. And once again, they told him to travel to that tzaddik. Again, he went to his father, and his father dissuaded him from it and prevented him from going. And this happened several times. And yet, the son of the rabbi felt that something's missing, and he was yearning desperately to fill that lacking, and he didn't know what it is. So once again, he went to his father, and this time he insisted until his father was forced to agree to go with him, because the father refused to let him go by himself because he's an only child. He's a ben yachid. And the father cares about him so much. And now the father said to his son, the rabbi says to his son, "You'll see, I'm going to show you that I'm going to travel with you, and I'll show you that he's nothing." So sure enough, they hitched up the wagon and they started traveling. And now the father, the rabbi, says to his son, "I'm going to make a test now. If everything goes smooth and well, it'll be an indication that Hashem wants us to make this trip. If not, it'll be a sign that that Hashem does not want us to make this trip. And we'll go back home." Sure enough, they set out on the trip. And on the way, they came to a small, narrow bridge. And as the horse and wagon is crossing the bridge, one of the horses fell, the wagon tipped over and threw them into the water, and they almost drowned. So the father, the rabbi, says to his son, "You see? You see that things aren't going well. Things aren't going smooth." So therefore, it's obvious that this trip is not something Hashem wants us to do, and they went back home. The son went back to his learning, and again he sees that something's missing, and he doesn't know what it is. Once again, he insists to his father that he feels he must travel to the tzaddik, and the father was forced to go with him a second time. Now they're traveling, and the father says, "Again, we're going to make a test. If everything goes smooth and well and normal, we'll know that it's heaven wants us to do this." Now, sure enough, they're traveling, and while they're traveling, suddenly both axles of the wagon, the front axle and the back axle, break at the same time. So the father, the rabbi, says to his son, "You see that Hashem doesn't want us to travel, he doesn't want us to make this trip. Is this natural? Is this normal that both axles should break at the same time? How many times have we traveled with this wagon and nothing like this ever happened to us?" So they went back home again, and the son went back to his learning, And once again, he felt that lacking. So the people again advised him to go, to travel. He went back to his father. Once again, he insisted, he pressured his father, and the father was forced to go with him again. Now the son says to the father, to the rabbi, we're not going to make tests like we made in the previous times, because this could also be natural, that a horse falls or that the axles break, unless we'll see a real clear sign from heaven, something that's really, really obvious. So they set out on the trip, and on the way, they came to a certain inn where they would sleep over. And they saw, they met a businessman there. And they started talking to him like businessmen would speak, that kind of talk. And they didn't reveal to him where they're going, because the rabbi was embarrassed to say that he's going to this tzaddik. So they spoke about all kinds of worldly things, until in the discussion, somehow it came up to talk about tzaddikim, where, which cities and which places are found tzaddikim. So the person, the businessman they were talking to said, in this city there's a tzaddik, and over there, and then they mentioned the tzaddik that they were traveling to. So he said to the businessman, answered them, him? He's a nothing. I'm coming from there right now. I'm coming from that city. I was there, and I saw he committed a sin. So now the father, the rabbi, turned to his son, and he said, You see what this businessman is telling us? Mesiach lefitumai. He's saying this in innocence. We didn't ask him. We didn't ask him for advice. We didn't ask him his opinion. Voluntarily, he offered this opinion. He happens to mention that he was there and he saw the person, and he said nothing. He saw him commit a sin. So sure enough, they turned around and went back home, and the son died. This only child of the rabbi passed away. Now he comes to his father in a dream. And the father, the rabbi, sees that his son is standing in front of him very angry. And he asks him, why are you so angry? So his son says to him, go to that tzaddik and he'll tell you why I'm so angry. The rabbi woke up and he said, it's coincidence. Dreams aren't necessarily, you know, authentic. Then he had the dream a second time, and still he refused to believe that this was a clear message from heaven. He said, it's a false dream. And then it happened a third time, and now the rabbi got the message that this is something significant. So sure enough, he set out on the trip to travel to that tzaddik. And while he's traveling, he meets that businessman that they had met previously when he was traveling with his son. And he recognized him, and he said to him, aren't you the one that I met that time in an inn, in this inn? So the businessman said to him, most definitely you saw me. And now the businessman opened his mouth, and he said, if you want me to swallow you? He said, If you want, I'll swallow you. So the rabbi said, what are you saying? What kind of talk is that? So this businessman responded, remember when you were traveling with your son, and at first, on the first trip, the horse fell on the bridge, and then you went back home, then you made a second trip and both axles broke, and then you met me, and I told you that he's a nothing, that tzaddik is a nothing. Now that I succeeded in eliminating your son, now you can go. You can go to the tzaddik. It's because your son was the Moir HaKoton, and that tzaddik was the Moir HaGodol. And if they would have gotten together, Moshiach would come. And now that I eliminated your son, you can go. You can travel to the tzaddik. And suddenly that businessman disappeared. And there was no one to talk to anymore. So sure enough, the rabbi continued his trip. He went to the tzaddik and he cried out. The tzaddik cried out, Chaval, chaval, chaval al diavdin veloy mishtakhin. Chaval means, oy, 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 terrible, terrible, terrible for a loss that cannot be retrieved, that cannot be recovered. And Rabbi Nizal concludes the story with the words, may Hashem return all of our losses, all of the things that have become rejected from us, speedily, amen. There's one short note from Rabbi Nizal himself at the end of the story, where it says, this businessman was the Samach Mem himself. It was the Satan, the Yetzirah himself, who appeared like a businessman, and he's the one who caused them to make a mistake. He confused them, he fooled them. And then afterwards, when he meets the rabbi a second time, he teases him and he insults him over the fact that the rabbi was foolish enough to listen to him, because that's how the Yetzirah operates. And Rabbi Nizal adds the words, Hashem Yisborach Yatzilenu, may Hashem save us from the Yetzirah. This is the story. Now let's go back and analyze the story in detail based on the guidance of Reb Nachman Chirin, one of the closest and most learned of Reb Nosson Zal's students. Reb Nachman Chirin says, this is an awesome, wondrous story full of Musar to teach us how the Yetzirah works to defeat us and the different tricks that he uses to prevent a person from coming close to the Tzadik HaEmes. And he writes, especially the Satan, the Yetzirah, works very hard, especially to prevent a person from coming close to the Tzadik upon whom is dependent the entire hope of the Jewish people. And the more that the person is a more significant person, a greater person, and he has something special about him, the Yetzirah will try harder to do everything in his power to block that person from coming close to this tzaddik. Because if that person were to come close to the tzaddik, who knows what kind of incredible benefits could come from this, and a tikkun for the entire Jewish nation and for all of the different worlds, as we see in this story. Because Reb Nachman Chirin points out, this tzaddik wasn't completely hidden, that nobody knew of him. We know that he was known. We see that there were people that were close to him, and some of those people were the ones who advised the son of the rabbi to go to that tzaddik. So there were people that were connected to the tzaddik. However, it's specifically the son of the rabbi in this case, that because he was on such a high madrega, he was zeichet to become the Moir HaKoton in that generation, and if he would have succeeded in coming close to this tzaddik, who was the Moir HaGodol, it would have been a complete tikkun for the world. That's why the Satan worked so hard to prevent this from happening. And what was his main effort in preventing this? The Yetzirah would have been willing to allow him to go to other tzaddikim. And it could be that those are the tzaddikim who the Yetzirah himself mentioned towards the end of the story, where he said, in this city there's a tzaddik, over there's a tzaddik, and they were also tzaddikei emes. They were also tzaddikim amitiim. However, they were not on the level, and they were not as significant and as important and as powerful as the particular specific tzaddik upon whom the perfection of the soul of this son of the rabbi was dependent on, and the perfection of the tikkun of the entire world was dependent on. It's incredibly important that Rav Nachman Shirin is making this perfectly clear to us, that there could be several tzaddikim amitiyim, but there's one who's unique, who's way above the others, and it's his duty especially, he's the one who's in the greatest, in the best position to bring about the tikkun of the entire world and to help a person, each and every one of us, achieve our tikkun bishleimus. And it's there specifically that the Yetzer Hara will try. The Yetzer Hara doesn't mind. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about this in Likutei Halachos, in Hilchos Shabbos, that the Yetzer Hara doesn't mind as much if people come close to other tzaddikim. In fact, the Yetzer Hara himself sometimes will elevate, will glorify those tzaddikim. He'll give them wealth, he'll see to it that they have fame and power, in order to hide the light of the tzaddik, who's the greatest one of all the tzaddikim, who's in the best position to be misaking all of the Jewish neshamos and to be misaking the entire world. Now note, the story is speaking about a rabbi who didn't have children and then finally had an only son. We could only imagine, we should never be in that position, but we hear from people that when people go for a length of time and they're not zeicher to have children and then they finally have a child, their love and their attachment to that child is on a much higher level usually than other people who have children in a regular manner. So we could imagine the rabbi certainly loved his son very, very much, and you would think he would do anything to help his son. And yet, we see what happened in the story, and we'll clarify this. Reb Nachman Shirin adds that we learn from this story that when it comes to these kind of things, a person is not allowed to say, let me make a test, let me see. If everything goes smooth, then it's a sign that Hashem wants me to do this. If there are difficulties or obstacles, that's an indication that Hashem doesn't want me to do this. Just the opposite. In majority of cases, if what we're talking about is something that's very important for someone's Yiddishkeit, for someone's connection to Hashem, then most definitely, when the person is first trying to accomplish it, the Yetzer Hara and all types of persecutions, heavenly persecutions, will come to the person to try to block the person and prevent the person from achieving this. We know the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Brachas that there are three things that come only through struggle, through suffering, through difficulty, which are Eretz Yisrael, Chaye Olam Haba, and Torah. That these things, which are the most important things in life, the most important things in Yiddishkeit, don't come necessarily easily or smoothly. And a person has to pray very, very hard to Hashem that Hashem should not send me major obstacles, major difficulties. Just like we say every morning in the prayer, Val tevieni lo lidei vizoyon velo lidei nisoyon. And just as Dovid HaMelech says, Ger onoichi bo'oretz, al taster mimeni mitzvoisecha. Hashem, I'm new, I'm a new person, I'm a visitor, I'm a guest, I'm a ger. Please, don't hide your mitzvahs from me. And many other psukim like this. And if a person sees that there are obstacles in their path blocking them from trying to achieve something, then the person has to increase their desire, their yearning, their longing to accomplish that. As we find in many places in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings, especially in chapter 66 in Likutei Moran, that the reason for the obstacles is, very often, to increase our desire, to make us want it more and more, until our desire will become so powerful that it'll crash through all the barriers. And now Reb Nachman Shirin adds, the most important obstacle that a person has to try to overcome is the obstacles in a person's mind, the doubts that a person has. because the Yetzirah tries very hard to confuse a person and to give the person all kinds of reasons and justifications as to why they don't need that, why they shouldn't do that mitzvah, or they shouldn't do that dover shebikdusha that they want to do. We see in this story the main problem, the main obstacle was the menias hamoyach, the fact that it wasn't yet clear to this young man, he wasn't positive that this is his solution, this tzaddik will be the solution to his problem. In the beginning, the obstacle was from his father. The father said to him, you are more learned, you have a holier lineage than him. It would be degrading for you to go to him. And then afterwards, once they're traveling, they decide to make a test. Let's see if Hashem really wants us to do this. So we see again, the son wasn't sure. If the son was positive, what test? There's no test. I'm not interested in any tests. I know that this is the only thing that can possibly help me. I don't want to know from any tests. And then when the horse fell and the wagon turned over and when both axles broke, so what? All of this could have been overcome. A car breaks down, a tire explodes, so you replace. You don't say we're canceling the trip always. You replace the tire and you keep going. This wasn't an insurmountable obstacle. It's just that this caused them to doubt. Who knows? Who knows if this is really something we should be doing or shouldn't be doing? And especially when it came to that third time, when they decided we're not going to make the kind of tests we made before. It's only if it's something really obvious. And they ended up being prevented by the fact that they met this businessman who spoke Lashon Hara and lies about the tzaddik. I remember my Rebbe, Reb Michal Zichron Avrocha, used to say, he didn't say this as a in all cases, but he said, Rabbeinu Zal in several places in Sipurim Maaseh speaks about a soicher, a businessman. And Reb Michal said, a soicher is a ligner. A businessman is a liar. Everybody knows that. That most people, in order to do business, they have to lie in presenting their merchandise and all kinds of things. That's a norm among businessmen, unless a person is an exception to the rule, that he's an extraordinary Yirei Shamayim, and no matter what, he won't lie. But normally, a salesman, a person who's selling merchandise, you know that you can't rely usually on what he has to say. So the rabbi, that's Dovor Murgash, that's a real clear sign? We know that the whole world is full of lies. And Dovor HaMelech says in Tehillim clearly, Te'olamno sifse sheker, hadoivrois al tzadik osok begaiva vavuz. Dovor HaMelech says, may those lips, those false lips, who speak against the tzadik with all kinds of lies, may they be silenced. And Rav Nachman Shirin writes, and it's very well known that just about all of the great tzaddikim in Klal Yisrael, especially those that were outstanding, had major machlokes against them, and people told all kinds of lies about them. Moshe Rabbeinu had opposition, had people that suspected him of all kinds of things. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ended up having to hide out for 13 years because somebody said something about him and word got back to the Roman government. The Arizal, the Baal Shem Tov, all of these tzaddikim. We'll hold it over here for now. We've just started touching a little bit on revealing some of the secrets in this story, some of the incredible advice and guidance. And Yetz Hashem will continue tomorrow, I believe. Any questions before we close?
There was a situation, I don't remember the names, but when Rabbeinu Zal said to one of his talmidim, go back home, don't be with me, how do we know how to interpret things like that, how they show up, so to speak, in our life in that way?
The answer is, it's not simple. It's not simple. Rabbeinu Zal himself said that when something requires mesiras nefesh, when something requires major self-sacrifice, a tzaddik is not allowed to tell someone to do it. In fact, he has to discourage the person from doing it, dissuade the person from doing it. So there are certain things that are certain rare occasions where the person is better off not asking. There's an expression in Yiddish, as mefrekt ashayla ver treif. If you ask a question, it becomes forbidden. Certain rare instances. In the case of Rav Nosson Zal, we know when he first came to Rabbeinu Zal, I believe it was the first Shavuos, he came to Rabbeinu Zal during the month of Elul. About a half a year later, Shavuos, there was still major turbulence in Rav Nosson Zal's home. His wife was still very much opposed to his chassidus and everything. And Rav Nosson Zal came to Rabbeinu Zal for Shavuos, and Rabbeinu Zal understood that there was danger, chas v'shalom, of Rav Nosson Zal's marriage falling apart, being destroyed completely. And Rabbeinu Zal sent him home. And Rabbeinu Zal didn't leave any room for negotiation. And Rav Nosson Zal left. He went back home. Years later, I believe maybe 6 years later, there was a Shavuos, and Rav Nosson Zal had many obstacles. The opposition from his wife was no longer what it used to be, but there were still some issues, but there was a whole list of obstacles at the time. Other things, we don't have the time to go into all the detail. And Rav Nosson Zal overcame all the obstacles, but yet it says he made sure not to appear before Rabbeinu Zal until it was mamish close to the Yontif. So Rabbeinu Zal couldn't send him home. He wouldn't have had time to get home. And at the time when he saw Rabbeinu Zal close, a couple of hours before Yontif, Rabbeinu Zal made a comment that, I had no idea that there was so much difficulty involved in your coming. Had I known, I certainly would have told you not to come. However, it's definitely better when a person overcomes the obstacles and they're zeicha to come. And that second Shavuos, Rav Nosson Zal was zeicha. Rabbeinu Zal said two chapters of Likut Imran, and it's only because Rav Nosson Zal was there that it was documented and we have it, etc. So this is a very delicate point. A person needs to learn a lot, to learn a lot of Torah, and to learn stories of tzaddikim, to get a picture, to have an idea when yes, when to push, when it requires pushing more, insisting more, and when not. And a person needs to plead with Hashem, to beg Hashem, guide me, direct me. V'choser soton in our tefillah of Ma'ariv, where we say, V'sakneinu be'etza toiva, Hashem, give me good counsel, good advice, good guidance. We say there, V'choser soton milfoneinu u'me'achareinu, please remove the soton, the obstacles that are in front of us, and the obstacles that are behind us. And it's the Meforshim explain. The obstacles in front of us are when we're trying to get close to Hashem and they're pushing us back. They're pushing us away, blocking us from getting to Hashem or getting to the Tzaddik. The obstacles that are behind us are those times when the Yetzer Hara tries to push us. He sees a person wants to do the right thing and they're trying, and the Yetzer Hara tries to get the person to do too much, to do what'll break the person, chas v'shalom, to do something that will not succeed, you know, where it'll be an extreme that's improper at that time. And a person, again, this is where the whole concept of coming close to tzaddikim is, that the Torah says, don't deviate to the right or to the left from what they'll tell you. The tzaddikim are the ones, by coming close to them, a person gets to understand what's right, what's left and what's center, what's the correct path in Avodas Hashem, what's too little, what's too much, and what's just right. I just came across recently notes that I had of a story that the Bir Likutim, Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Nachman, once told over, that this was early in Rabbi Nosson Zal's Hiskarvus, when Rabbi Nosson Zal was first coming to Rabbeinu Zal, that he once was invited to eat with Rabbeinu Zal, and he was eating. And Rav Nosson Zal had been raised in a wealthy home. His parents were wealthy and sort of aristocratic, highly respected. And Rav Nosson Zal ate in a dignified manner. And Rabbeinu Zal made a comment, a sarcastic comment a little, about Rav Nosson Zal's, about the way he was eating. Rav Nosson Zal didn't respond at all. He continued eating, as if he didn't notice it, even though it was insulting a little. Then Rabbeinu Zal commented that most people, when somebody says something insulting to them, they'll stop eating. And Rav Nosson Zal still continued eating as if nothing happened. Then Rabbeinu Zal went ahead and said, "I'm telling you to stop eating." And then Rav Nosson Zal put the spoon down and he stopped. And Rav Avraham Rav Nachman explained that the Gemara says that a person is not allowed to teach Torah to a Talmid she'enoi hogon, a Talmid who's not worthy, who's not qualified, who's not a proper student to teach Torah to. And Rabbeinu Zal was testing Rav Nosson Zal. He put him through this test to see if Rav Nosson Zal has the proper qualifications to be Rav Nosson Zal, to be the closest student to Rabbi Nachman, the one who Rabbeinu Zal would give over to him, just like Yaakov Avinu gave over to Yosef HaTzadik, Roiv Chochmosa, you know, everything. So too Rabbeinu Zal gave over to Rav Nosson Zal the vast majority of what Rabbeinu Zal wanted to broadcast to the world. So we see in the case of Rav Nosson Zal that there was a time that he felt the right thing was just to be quiet, not to react at all. And there was a time when Rabbeinu Zal said something a certain way, he understood to stop eating. There's different stories that we hear, that we read about tzaddikim, which give us an inkling, although again, in terms of being able to know exactly how to apply it to my situation, person learns a lot and reads the stories, and most important, prays very hard for guidance, for Hashem's guidance. We're going to have a lot more to say about this story of Mirtz Hashem. I hope tomorrow and the following day, Mirtz Hashem, I hope we'll continue. Wishing everybody a wonderful Cholam, a wonderful Yontif, Simcha, and a whole new beginning in trying to come close to Hashem by trying to come close to the Tzadik Emes and all of the Tzadikim Amitiyim, Mirtz Hashem. All the best.